Blog Talk Radio.
While ye may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Welcome to the House of Christ Ministries present, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world, by honoring the Great Commission. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, coming to you from Elmont, New York. We will be on the air every Wednesday and Sundays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will not be taking any calls, but if you have questions, please email us at hodminister@gmail.com, or you could write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. You can visit our social Christian network at www.myhocm.ning.com, our Christian bookstore at www.houseofchristbookstore.com, our online Bible Institute at houseofchristbibleinstitute.org. That is www.houseofchristbibleinstitute.org. You can visit our online Bible college at www.houseofchristbiblecollege.org. You can also visit our affiliated school of ministry, House of David Ministries, Inc., at www.riversofrevival.com. Journey, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission according to Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ gave a great commission to the world. There can be no delay. I must define the word world. in its application to this text of Scripture. The Greek word for world is cosmos, meaning the world as a whole and its inhabitants. So when we say John 3 verse 16, which is, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," we are talking about both the planet and its inhabitants. For the sending of his Son was intended for the redemption of man and the restoration of all things. That sin, of course, be placed in a chaotic state. The earth is God's, and his life is creation. Psalm 24, verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." Beloved, there is a great commission that we, the Christian, have been given responsibility to complete. This commission is purposed to extend to the world God's love for them and his offer of redemption that only comes through his Son Jesus Christ. This commission is not just going to church, singing in the choir. Rather, it is a sharing with others on a daily basis the love of God that is offered in Jesus Christ and the consequences of death without it. They both go together. Many don't see the need for a Savior because they are not confronted with the fact that they will die. The Great Commission tells us to teach them that Jesus Christ commanded us, and this includes the good news, but also the bad news, for those who fearlessly reject the good news, which is hell and the lake of fire. To accomplish this great commission, we must submit to the necessary preparatory things: training for the entire fivefold ministry, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor and teacher. Unfortunately, in this hour of the church, we don't always recognize some of the fivefold ministry calls. And so the body of Jesus Christ is not always fully equipped and perfected to fulfill the Great Commission. For each one perfects the saints and builds them with different things in a different way. We, the church, which is the body of Christ, have lost our purpose, our vision, causing us to hide inside the church building and be occupied with church events far too long. Much of the church has failed, with its majority focus on the temporal and natural, foregoing spiritual and eternal truth that give us true purpose. Unfortunately, we, the leaders, have given our constituency an unbalanced vision of 95% natural and 5% spiritual. Because of this, we, as well as those we minister to, have lost the vision of the Great Commission with its internal purposes. I encourage you, saints of Christ, to take up your rightful positions and honor the Great Commission. Chronicles 7, verse 14 says, If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence tonight. We repent for the sins that we have committed, for the sins of unforgiveness, bitterness in all areas, backbiting, gossip, murmuring, complaining, discontentment, pride, jealousy, slothfulness, complacency, laziness, procrastination, and putting other things before God. Uncleanness in movies, music videos, on television, the conversation we have, and the clothes we wear. Ungodly pursuits, being entertained by ungodly things, ungodly television shows, ungodly internet sites, ungodly music, idolatry, using foul and ungodly language, using the Lord's name in vain, for every word that's said against God, His Son, Jesus Christ, and His Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We repent for self-righteousness, anti-submission to godly and legal authority, disobedience to the Spirit of God and the Word, doubt and unbelief in regards to God's Word, all acts of rebellion against God and legal authority, both natural and spiritual, speaking against leaders and those in authority, abandonment of our responsibilities to God, our families, and others, disunity, discord, and division in the body of Christ, selling our gifts and talents to the world, selfish ambition, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. Father, we submit to you, and we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for forgiving us and cleansing us from all unrighteousness. And we come before you because Psalm 100, verse 4 says, Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Father, we thank you for everything you have done for us, Lord. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray, O God, that you bless this show tonight. As we proclaim your Son, Jesus Christ, throughout the world, we pray, O God, that no demonic strongholds can hold this show to ransom, Lord. And we bind every spirit that will come up against it tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you tonight, and we bless your name as we lift you up in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
As the fairest of ten thousand.
Welcome to the House of Christ Ministries present, Proclaiming Jesus Christ Throughout the World by Honoring the Great Commission. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, coming to you from Elmont, New York. We will be on the air every Wednesday and Sundays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will not be taking any calls, but if you have questions, please email us at hodminister@gmail.com. Or you could write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. You can visit our social Christian network at www.myhocm.ning.com, our Christian bookstore at www.houseofchristbookstore.com, our online Bible Institute at www.houseofchristbibleinstitute.org, our online Bible college at www.houseofchristbiblecollege.org. You can also visit our affiliated school of ministry, House of David Ministries, Inc., at www.reverseofrevival.com. The scripture for tonight will be taken from Ezekiel chapter 28, the King James Version. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, Thus saith the Lord God, Because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man, and not God. Though thou set thine art as the art of God, behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches, and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic, as thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore, I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the death of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Wilt thou yet say before him that slay thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man, and no God, in the hand of him that slay thee. Thou shalt die the death of the uncircumcised, by the hand of strangers, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom, and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covered, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of the fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. by the multitude of thy merchandise. They have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth, in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Sidon, and prophesy against it, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Sidon, and I will be glorified in the midst of thee. And they shall know that I am the Lord, when I shall have executed judgment in her, and shall be sanctified in her. For I will send into her pestilence, and blood into her streets, and the wounded shall be judged in the midst of her, by the sword upon her and every side, and they shall know that I am the Lord. And there shall be no more a pricking briar unto the house of Israel, nor any griefing thorn of all that are around them, that despise them. And they shall know that I am the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord, when I shall have gathered the house of Israel from the people among whom they are scattered, and shall be sanctified in them in the sight of the heathen, then shall they dwell in their land that I have given to my servant Jacob, and they shall dwell safely therein, and shall build houses and plant vineyards. Yea, they shall dwell with confidence when I have executed judgments upon all those that despise them round about them. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God. Let us honor God's word. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
To the house where I used to live, the grass had grown up and it covered the door. Someone across the street that I know. They don't live here
Continue on this spiritual journey, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission. Tonight's lesson will be the conclusion of The Origin of Man in the series Understanding the Book of Revelation. Last week we spoke about the composition of man. Man is a triune being, or a being that has three distinct parts. So as we continue on this journey, we will start tonight by examining the soul. When explaining the trifold nature of man, Genesis 2 verse 7 gives insight into all three parts. Genesis 2 says, "And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Here we have the birth of the psyche of man through the breath or spirit of life from God. God had already created the body of man, yet he had not been programmed. The body of man without a soul is similar to having a computer with no programs in it. The soul is part of man that programs the brain. The brain facilitates the soul, and the soul, while in an earthly body, functions through the brain. The word soul in the Greek is psyche, pronounced psuche, from which we derive the word psyche, dealing with the mind. Psyche means spirit or animal sentience, able to perceive, be aware, conscious. The soul has in it emotions, affections, memory, reasoning, imagination, and intellect. Each person that God created as a distinct psyche, a personality or consciousness in which comes to life or is animated when God breathed spirit life into it. God designed the human body to facilitate spiritual attributes. God created the physical brain and instilled in it the soul of man. In the spiritual realm, the soul does not need the physical brain to function. Yet while man is on earth, his soul uses the brain to facilitate it or function through. This is why in the spiritual realm and eternity, heaven or hell, people will remember, feel, and have emotions, yet without an earthly body. Luke 16, verses 14 through 31, gives us the account of this spiritual fact. Some believe that Jesus Christ was telling a parable in the scripture, but we know that that is not true, because Jesus Christ never used names in parables. He was speaking a factual account. Luke 16, verses 22 through 29 says, "And it came to pass that a beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seat Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivedest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that will come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. The soul will exist eternally, even outside of the body. When we consider the various personalities of people, both good and bad, many questions arise as to why God allowed people to have psyches that are evil and cause bad things. Let us go a little deeper. When Adam was created, he had within himself all the traits, both mental and physical, that God wanted to give to humanity in his gene pool. Sin perverted these various traits in Adam, causing the behaviors from man's fallen psyche that we see today throughout humanity. Sin always turns what God intended to be a blessing to become a curse, or opposite of what God intended. We see this with the fallen angels. God did not make them to hate as they do today. It was the introduction of sin that caused their psyches to change from God's design to wickedness. The Spirit, again in Genesis 2, verse 7, we see the birthing of this part of man. It reads, And breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living soul. To understand what the spirit of man is, we must define the word breath from the Hebrew. We see in the above scripture that God breathed the breath of life and man became alive. The breath of life, or the spirit of life that God breathed into man, deposited in him a spirit that had the life of God in it. Please understand that God is the giver of life, and that life is spirit, and it is given through God's breath. Even though God had formed the body of man, it still was not alive until he blew the breath of life into it. The Hebrew word for breath in this text of scripture is neshama, pronounced neshama, meaning to puff, wind, angry, or vital breath, divine inspiration, intellect, breath, inspiration, soul, spirit. The Greek word for spirit is pneuma, pronounced pneuma, meaning a current of air, breath or breeze, an angel, a demon or divine, God, Christ spirit, Holy Spirit, ghost, life, spirit, mind. Your spirit has a specific image, shape, and form, which causes it to be distinguishable from others. Now your soul or psyche causes you to be seen a specific way. This is based on what it has perceived or knows about who you are, or what you looked like according to your natural body or image. Your spirit has within it your soul or psyche, mind and its abilities. Again, this is how the rich man who died and went to hell was able to feel, see, and distinguish different people in hell and paradise. Luke 16, verse 19 through 31. In heaven, we will have the mind or psyche of Christ, which will cause us to see ourselves in a redeemed state, as he sees us. This will also cause us not to remember with remorse those who died without Christ and went to hell. Because of the mind or psyche of Christ, we will not hurt nor grieve for them, for our minds will fully understand and embrace God's mercy and justice of God. The Bible says that we shall know even as we are known because of the psyche of our mind, Christ flowing through us, his body. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12 says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." It is with our spirit that we contact and communicate with God. John 4, verses 23 through 24 says, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in the spirit and truth." Man comes from God. Man comes from God, for the word of God, the Holy Bible, says that God breathed the breath of life into man. It was when God breathed the breath of life into man that man's body became animated. The spirit of man has the life of God in it, which causes the body to live as long as the spirit is resident. This is why in the book of Revelations, people who will try and kill themselves will not be able to, because God will cause their spirit to stay residence in their bodies. Revelations 9 verse 6 says, "And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them." Why did God create man? There are various reasons that God created man, and I am sure that I do not know them all. For some of God's purposes, for man may yet be waiting to be understood in eternity. Yet with the understanding that God has given us, I will list a few reasons for man's creation. Man was created to be, one, be a heritage. The American Heritage Dictionary of English Language defines heritage as something other than property passed down from preceding generations, legacy, tradition. It is also the status or lot acquired by a person through birth or birthright, a heritage of affluence and position. The status or lot acquired by a person through birth or birthright, a heritage of affluence and position. In 1 Peter 5, verse 3, the word tells pastors not to be lords over God's heritage. 2, man was created for God's pleasure. Revelation 4, verse 11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." God created all things, including man, for his pleasure. The word pleasure in this text implies whatever God determines. 3. Man, as well as all creation, was made to praise the Lord. Psalms 148, verses 1 through 14 says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beast and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth, and all people, princes, and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalted the honor of his people. The praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him, praise ye the Lord. All creation was made for the purpose of praising God. When the wind blows through the trees, it is an act of praise to God. When the waves rise up and then fall, it is an act of praise to God. All things, including man, were made to give praise to our Creator, the living God. Psalms 149, verses 1 through 6, and Psalm 150, verses 1 through 6, tells us why we should praise the Lord. 4. Man is to have fellowship with God. 1 John 1, verse 3. Why does Satan hate man so much? I believe some of his hatred is based on jealousy. Some of the reasons might be that man was made in the image of God. Man was made for the praise of God and to have fellowship with God. Much of what Satan wanted and the job that he used to have was given to man. Remember, Satan was virtually an instrument of praise for the Lord. Built within him were instruments of praise. Ezekiel 28 verses 13 through 15. Satan may have thought that after his expulsion from heaven, that he would have dominion on earth. Then God gave dominion to man. We will take a short break and come right back. We appear to be having some technical difficulties with the song selected to be played, so we will continue the lesson until we are able to rectify the problem. God created man with purpose. In the beginning, man was purposed to be a vegetarian. Genesis 1, verse 29 tells us of the diet that God proposed for man. It reads, "And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To it shall be your meat." God made man a vegetarian. Instead of flesh, God gave man fruit as a meat. Man was not made to carnivore or meat eating. Our bodies were not originally made for meat. Another purpose for the creation of man was to give him dominion over all the earth. That includes the winds, the waves, etc. God did not give man dominion without training. Man was in the Garden of Eden, being trained in dominion. Genesis 2, verses 19 through 20 says, "And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field, and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam, to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmate for him. Man was created to be like God. He was being trained in dominion and power, as any good father would train his son in doing. Man was not only given life, but was also given the ability to procreate, make children in his own image. Genesis 5, verse 1 through 3. Sin cut short man's dominion training. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. When man decided to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he took upon himself the responsibility for doing what is right or wrong, good or evil. His actions from that point on were looked at as an intentional rather than innocence due to knowledge or what is right and wrong. Before Adam ate from the tree, he probably erred and made mistakes. Yet they probably were not considered sin. If they were not an act of disobedience to God, and because he did not have knowledge of good and evil. This seems to be an early area where God's presence was instituted, called innocence. God created man to be humble, and in that humility, understand his need to be dependent on God for true wisdom, knowledge, and direction. Humility is a function of walking.
Reach out.
Oh, bless the name of Jesus. This is an appeal to reach out and touch Jesus. As he's passing your way right this very moment,
you will find he's not.
I'm talking to you, my sister. I'm talking to you, my brother. I'm talking to some mother. I'm talking to some father right now. I'm talking to that young man. I'm talking to that young woman. Jesus is passing away right now. If you just reach out and touch Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus of Nazareth is passing away. Somebody just reach out and touch Jesus
and
right now.
The Lord as he passes by.
You'll find him not too busy.
You will find he's not too busy to hear your heart cry.
He's passing by this moment.
He's passing by this moment.
All of your needs.
Your needs.
Oh, thank you.
Reach out and touch the Lord.
He's passing your way. He's passing your way. Every heart, every mind, every body, every soul, right now in the name of Jesus.
Touch the Lord.
Reach out and touch Jesus.
He's
passing your way.
Reach out.
and down. I'm talking to you for feeling depressed and frustrated. I'm talking to you if you think there's no way out of your situation. I'm talking to you if you're sick and can't seem to get well.
Continue on this spiritual journey. Our lesson was the conclusion of The Origin of Man in a series, The Book of Revelation. I pray that it was a blessing to you. If you would like more information on our lessons, or you'd like to request copies, you could write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Avalanche, New York, 11003. As we continue on this journey proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission, I would like to extend an invitation to you to join me on the Roman road to salvation. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you have previously accepted Him and turned away from Him, I encourage you tonight to submit to Him and recommit yourself and your life. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Matthew 16, verse 24, He said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me." Tonight, Jesus Christ is standing at the door of your heart, knocking, listening, and waiting for you to make that decision. For those who turn away from Him, waiting to be restored as the Lord and Master of your lives. I am going to ask you to renew your commitment to Jesus Christ. Romans 3 verse 10 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Romans 3 verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 6 verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans 10 verse 9 says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, have mercy on me, a sinner. I believe in you and that your word is true. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and that he died on the cross so that I may now have forgiveness for my sins and eternal life. I know that without you in my heart, my life is meaningless. I believe in my heart that you, Lord God, raised him from the dead. Please forgive me for every sin I have ever committed or done in my heart. Please, Lord Jesus, forgive me and come into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. I need you to be my Father and my friend. I give you control over my life, and I ask you to take full control from this moment on. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. dearly beloved, if you have just accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you have recommit your life to Him, you have just made the most important decision that you will ever make in your life by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. At this point, you may have some questions about being a born-again Christian. This information will help answer those questions and guide you in your journey toward the kingdom of God. While our physical body will die someday, your spirit is a part of you that will live forever. However, the Bible says that our souls and spirits are dead and dark because of original human sin. And God cannot stay in the presence of sin. The only way to remove the darkness and sin is to become born again. When you were born again, you became a new creature in Jesus Christ. This means that your old moral and spiritual condition completely passed away, and you were given an opportunity for a new beginning with Jesus Christ. This new birth is possible because God loves you so much that He sent His only Son to die in your place for your sins. Because of Jesus' sacrifice, you are no longer blind, lost, or living in darkness. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to peace and happiness. However, salvation is not mental, it is of the heart. When you are truly born again, there is something in you that will cause you to be different. Your goals, motives, attitudes, and actions will begin to change. While this does not mean that you will never make mistakes again, it does mean that you will not purposely or knowingly continue to sin. God's word is truth and life to your spirit. Your spirit needs to be fed and nourished, so it is very important that you become part of a regular church, a Bible-believing church that is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, where the power of God is in action to feed the Spirit of God that is in the new you. We at House of Christ Ministries, Inc. would be honored to become part, for you to become part of this ministry. It is also important for you to learn God's Word by reading the Bible on a regular basis. Start by reading the book of John, then proceed to the book of Matthew, and then read the entire New Testament. It is also important that you receive sound teaching. We encourage you to become part of our ministry. Currently, we are an internet-based ministry. God is always with you, so praying to God in Jesus' name and talking to God will help bring you closer into His presence. singing songs of praise to God and participating in fellowship with other Christians will help bring you closer into the presence of God as well. We are here to help you. We will answer any questions and point you in the right direction. Please write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. Without regard to your past, you are welcome to the family of God. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Please join me every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at www.blogtalkradio.com/Reverend Davis. God bless you for tuning in tonight. We pray that we will be submitted and obedient to the call to serve the Lord. We commit to pray without ceasing. We pray that we will spend more time in your presence, praying, fasting, reading the Bible, and consecrating ourselves. We pray that you will give us ears to discern your voice, and only your voice we will listen to and obey. We pray that we will study to show ourselves approved unto the Lord. We pray that we will be able to lay aside our desires and vain pursuits. We pray for the grace to pass the test of the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and lust and pride of life. We pray that we will walk in the Spirit and crucify the flesh. We pray for grace to live a consecrated, holy, and acceptable life before you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, and good night.